Elizabeth Warren gets attacked for being too far left. Elections in Virginia and Kentucky have the media and Democrats all spun up. And an ABC News reporter goes off on her own network for burying the Jeffrey Epstein story. All that and more. I'm Bobby Eberle. This is the 13-Minute News Hour.
God bless the United States of America.
All right, friends, welcome to the show. I hope you're having a great week. And we need to start with the question, has Elizabeth Warren gone too far left? Obviously not for the Democrats, but the media has all of a sudden taken notice of her Medicare for All massive trillions and trillions of dollars spending, and they're actually attacking her for it, which I find just hilarious. Stuart Varney over at Fox News had a great analysis, and here's part of what he said.
Oh, I was shocked this morning when I scanned the headlines in the liberal media. They've woken up to the economic lunacy of Elizabeth Warren's Medicare for All.
So I find this so entertaining. You see this happen from time to time where a left-wing candidate just goes off the rails, you know, this Medicare for All, and the media feel like they have to make an adjustment. They have to at least criticize to make the American people think that the media are somehow unbiased, which we know they're all in the camp for the Democrats and for the left. Yet these candidates go so crazy that the media just is forced to do something. Here's more from Varney.
The New York Times, look at this. The Warren way is the wrong way. The Times says a Warren presidency is a, quote, terrifying prospect. This is the New York Times saying this. The Washington Post, look at this. A health care plan to get Trump reelected. Yeah, it's that bad. Another from the Post. Warren's health care plan is festooned with magic asterisks.
So this is awesome. You've got the New York Times, Washington Post coming out against Warren, against Medicare for All. So you can bet if she ends up being the nominee, we're going to use that. We're going to use that against her when these far-left publications that are not journalistic at all anymore, if they come out against Warren, that's awesome ammunition. It just shows how out of touch she is with the American public. So bring her on as the nominee for the general election. Varney then gets into some politics. He brings up battleground states, states that were crucial for President Trump's win in 2016. And here's what he says.
The New York Times conducted an extensive poll of battleground states, those states that will have a big say in deciding next year's winner. Michigan, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Florida, Arizona, and North Carolina. And the Times concluded, quote, the president's advantage in the Electoral College remains intact or has even grown.
Wow, so that's some pretty big news right there. And it gives you an indication or a possible reason why the media might be freaking out. Americans don't want socialism. They just want to work. They just want to do their jobs, save for the future, have, you know, their 401ks doing well with the stock market. They don't want this kind of stuff. And I think the media might from time to time in these polls show that Americans don't want it. They don't embrace this kind of stuff. And so we'll see what happens come election time. But this is just really good information from the battleground states. Next, we want to look at the elections and the fallout, the spin from last night's elections. We had some big elections in Mississippi and Kentucky and Virginia, and the media and Democrats are always trying to look at that as signs that the Trump agenda is failing or that Trump, President Trump himself doesn't have coattails, doesn't bring people across the finish line, things like that. And this election last night was a great sign to see that Republicans are doing pretty well, and President Trump is doing great. And here, I want to talk about Virginia first, because we'll get that one out of the way, because this is the state that I saw on CNN, you know, in the spin of Democrats taking over. Okay, well, this is a state that did not go for President Trump. It's been trending Democrat, trending blue for a while now. It already has a Democrat governor. Remember Ralph Northam, the one who spoke out about killing babies after they were born? Remember that clip?
If a mother is in labor, I can tell you exactly what would happen. The infant would be delivered. The infant would be kept comfortable. The infant would be resuscitated if that's what the mother and the family desired. And then a discussion would ensue between the physicians and the mother.
So that shows you the trend of the state when you have a governor like that. So the Republicans held very slim majorities in the state legislature, both in their House and the Senate. And Democrats flipped those. They gained enough seats, again, not a huge margin, to flip those. So now Democrat control of Virginia, which is the way it was going there. So the news there is there's no news. All right. So then I want to go to Mississippi, because that was a really interesting race right there. The governor is retiring, Phil Bryant, and you had a contest between the lieutenant governor, Tate Reeves, and the attorney general, Jim Hood. Now, Jim Hood has already run as a Democrat and won 4 statewide elections in the state. And that was the matchup. And here's some of the results. You can check this out. It says Republican Tate Reeves won close to by 50,000 votes, 52.2% to 46.6%. So that is a solid Republican win in our column. I mean, that was great. The media were looking at it, thought it could be close. It wasn't. It was a blowout. So now we have the real story. The real story is Kentucky and what happened there in a deeply red state, pro-Trump state. He campaigned for the governor candidate, Matt Bevin, just a couple days ago. And it was destined to be close because Bevin is not liked in the state. And that's why the Democrats, CNN, MSNBC, they're all talking about this election, because as it stood, or as it stands now, early morning, the Democrat, Andy Beshear, leads by 0.4% over the incumbent governor, Matt Bevin, the Republican. And it's razor thin. Bevin has not conceded. And the Democrats are trying to say, oh my gosh, this is it. The media are saying, this is it. This is our big win in Kentucky. And we're, you know, making our way into Trump's lead, chiseling away at his lead. But that's not the case. You guys have to know the facts so that you can weigh that against the spin that you're going to hear. First of all, for some reason in Kentucky, no Republican has ever won re-election as governor. It just hasn't happened. Democrats have, but every time there's a Republican, they don't win re-election. It's just, it doesn't happen there. So that's one thing. The other thing is that Bevin is very much disliked in the state. And here's some of that report from Fox News. It says, regardless of the final outcome, the razor-thin margin in the race did not come as a surprise to Republicans. Although Trump carried the deep red Kentucky by 30 points in the 2016 presidential election, Bevin has long been very unpopular for a Republican in the state, owing in part to his numerous spats with the striking public school teachers and his plan to address a growing pension crisis. Bevin significantly underperformed the rest of the GOP ticket on the ballot in Kentucky on Tuesday, as Republican candidate Daniel Cameron handily won his race to become the state's next attorney general. Cameron made history as the first African-American to be elected Kentucky Attorney General and the first Republican to hold the post in more than 70 years. All right, so there's a comparison right there. Kentucky's Republican, they just elected their first Black Attorney General, not a Democrat, a Republican, and he brought in more than 70,000 votes, around 70,000 votes more than Matt Bevin did for governor. So it shows how much more Bevin is disliked in the state than someone like Cameron, who, again, congratulations to him. That is a great win. And the other thing here is I'll post the election results once more on the screen, and you can see that as of now, Bevin is only trailing by about 5,000 votes, and the Libertarian candidate in the race received 28,000. So that's what happens when people don't like you and they see an alternative, they vote for it, you could be out of a job. So it's definitely not a mandate against Trump. There's some Kentucky history there, and it's just a person that people didn't like. And it shows when you see that difference in voting for the first Black Attorney General, Republican Cameron. Awesome job. And how much better he performed in Kentucky, same night, same election, as Matt Bevin, the incumbent Republican governor. So next, I want to talk to you about what's going on with ABC and this whole Jeffrey Epstein story, because this story will not die. Epstein lives on, despite the fact that several months ago he committed suicide. He lives on in controversies and memes. The other day I got this one, and take a look at this. And so when I saw this, I said, yeah, okay, it's Christmas is starting way too early. Here they go. I didn't even realize that the stockings actually said Jeffrey Epstein, or Epstein didn't kill himself. So that shows that I was just a little slow there. But the latest controversy is Project Veritas has released a video that shows, it captures a hot mic of reporter Amy Robach, and she is complaining about how her investigation of Epstein, an investigation, you know, occurring 3 years ago, they had this information, was not played by ABC, and just they just sat on it. And she was expressing her frustration to a producer, and here's part of her comments.
I've had the story for 3 years. I've had this interview with Virginia Roberts. We would not put it on the air. First of all, I was told, who's Jeffrey Epstein? No one knows who that is. This is a stupid story. Then the palace found out that we had her whole allegations about Prince Andrew and threatened us a million different ways. We were so afraid we wouldn't be able to interview Kate and Will that also quashed the story.
So Robach was, you know, again, just talking, just venting, speaking off the record type of thing on a hot mic. Didn't know she was being recorded. And here's more of what she said.
We convinced her to come out. We convinced her to talk to us. It was unbelievable what we had. Clinton, we had everything. I tried for 3 years to get it on to no avail. And now it's all coming out.
So that's 3 years of a buried Epstein story. She's frustrated. The network did nothing about it. And she went on even more.
What we had was unreal. Other women backing it up. Hey, yep. Brad Edwards, the attorney, 3 years ago saying, there will come a day when we will realize Jeffrey Epstein was the most prolific pedophile this country has ever known.
So, of course, ABC News, once this came out, they went into damage control. It's like, oh, no, we're not covering for Jeffrey Epstein and all his rich cronies like Bill Clinton and Alan Dershowitz and other people that have been implicated in this big, big scandal. So ABC came out, according to the Washington Examiner, they issued a statement which reads, at the time, not all of our reporting met our standards to air, but we never stopped investigating the story. Ever since, we've had a team on this investigation and substantial resources dedicated to it. That work has led to a 2-hour documentary and a 6-part podcast that will air in the new year. All right. And so in addition to ABC, the reporter, Amy Robach, also issued a statement saying that she was caught in a private moment of frustration. And here's part of her statement. It says, as a journalist, as the Epstein story continued to unfold last summer, I was caught in a private moment of frustration. I was upset that an important interview I had conducted with Virginia Roberts didn't air because we could not obtain sufficient corroborating evidence to meet ABC's editorial standards about her allegations. So how do you take all that? I mean, it's so interesting because this guy, he was the who's who of the rich and famous and powerful, and all of a sudden he commits suicide, which as you saw from the autopsy report that came out just recently, that's very mysterious, very suspicious, and yet, you know, the story continues. We're going to learn more and more and more, and hopefully we'll find out what really happened because, as you know, Epstein didn't kill himself. Folks, that's our show for today. I hope you enjoyed it. Please subscribe, and when you do, please hit that bell so you'll be notified, and we'll see you next time. I'm Bobby Eberle. This is a 13-Minute News Hour. Okay, friends, just a little reminder before you go, and no, this does not count against my 13 minutes. Please hit the subscribe button below and tell your friends. And if you happen to miss our last show, you can check it out right here. And also for great conservative news and commentary, please check out GOPUSA.com. All right, folks, we'll see you on the next show. Have a great day.